We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen to the message of truth from God's Word.
Take your Bible, if you would, please, and I want you to turn over to Psalm 127, verse number 2. The title of the message tonight is the best night's sleep in the whole wide world. And we'll get back to that in just a moment. The story is told of a little preacher, a little skinny preacher. He's preaching away, and down in the front row is a big burly man with his young son. And as the preacher is preaching away, the dad falls asleep. And it starts to bother the preacher because up here I see everything. Trust me, I see everything. I can tell when you're texting. I can tell when you're doing all kinds of things. And he's watching this big burly man. He falls off asleep. He can't preach anymore. He really hasn't bothered. So he looks at the little boy and he says, "Hey, wake your dad up." So the little boy looks at him, looks at his dad, looks back at him. He said, "You put him to sleep, you wake him up." So I hope I don't put you to sleep tonight. I'm going to be preaching about sleep. I had a guy in our church, I kid you not, every Sunday night he'd sit about halfway out the back here. It didn't matter what we do. I used to have a deacon sit behind him, tap him on the head, and he'd go right back out again. So I hope you'll stay awake. I want to start by reading this verse. We'll go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll see what God has for us tonight about a very important subject, sleep, which many of us probably haven't been taught too much on over the years, which has been a favorite subject of mine. And the older I get, the more I realize you better understand sleep, because when you get old, you need your sleep. Amen? That was pretty good. All righty, here we go. Let me start out by reading this verse to you. Psalm 127, verse 2, "It is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrow, for so he giveth his beloved sleep." Now, Heavenly Father, we really need to hear from you tonight. Should you not speak to our hearts, this time of preaching will have been in vain. You remind us of the power of your word, sharp, two-edged sword. I pray tonight it would pierce to the very depth of our soul, that as we leave here tonight, we'd leave changed. Those who struggle with sleep perhaps might find some answers that might help them. So bless the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I want to start off with a little video. If you'll run that video, it's not long at all.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
All right, now let me ask you a question. How many of you seen that on television? All right, here we go. How many of you bought one of his pillows? All right. Now, I just want to say this. Mike Liddell, he's a great guy. He's a born-again Christian. He pulled himself up out of the gutter. He has over 1,500 employees working for him. He's made millions and millions of dollars. A very successful man. But every night when I watch TV, there's a certain show I watch, and he comes on. And I got to thinking, well, you know, he might offer you a great night's sleep, but I know somebody who offers you the best night's sleep. And that's the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
The thing that you have to understand, sleep is like anything else in life. You have to cultivate it. You have to work at it. When kids are little, you have to make them go to sleep. When you get old, you don't want to get up. And it's just because it requires a discipline. And that discipline is needed if you're going to live a productive life, because if anybody in here ever suffer from sleep deprivation, in the military they teach you how to deal with that, because you will deal with sleep deprivation, and it does affect what you do. When I used to fly full time, there was a restriction, no more than 12 hours. When you hit 10 hours, if we had a 12-hour day flying at the 10th hour, we'd call the command post, And we'd get permission to go beyond that because sleep deprivation is very crucial. And so to understand sleep, the Bible is full of information about it, but I've discovered over the years we preach very little on the subject. And so I just thought I'd share some very simple thoughts with you tonight, hoping that perhaps you'll take them with you, give some thought to how you sleep, and maybe it'll change your life. So here we go. Here's the best way to get the best night's sleep in the whole wide world. Number one, don't let your problems rob your sleep. Don't let your problems rob your sleep. I used to have a British friend of mine. You may have heard me say this before. His name was Doug Peachy. He used to have a flower field. He raised flowers and tulips, and Todd used to work for him. And every time I'd go over to him, he'd always say the same thing. Now, young Tom, he'd say, if you have something to bother you during the day, it'll be niggling you at night. And he used to say that all the time, make me think about that. But here's the thing. It says it's vain. In plain words, it's useless. There is no value to this whatsoever. It says, it is vain to stay. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrow. It's absolutely vain. Look what it says in the verse. For so he giveth his beloved sleep. He's given you sleep, and you're not taking advantage of it. You're letting your problems rob your sleep. Now, I know that most people, when they go to bed, there's all kinds of things you do. You turn the sound machine on. How many got a sound machine? Got the sound machine. We have one in our house right now. It's crickets. And I want to get out of bed and get my stick and get a couple of them. But, it really is called white sound because what it does is it neutralizes noise so you can sleep because, believe it or not, when you go to sleep, your hearing doesn't go to sleep. That's why people have things like that. But here's the thing. God gives us sleep. We're supposed to go to bed, and we're not supposed to let our problems occupy our mind, keep us up at night, and then turn around and get us up early in the morning, and we're still worrying about the same thing. Well, God in his infinite wisdom says this in the Psalms. The psalmist says this, when I remember thee upon my bed. Now listen to what he says. This is in Psalm 63, verse 6. He said, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. When you go to bed at night, I guarantee you, you have an option. You either think about your problems the next day, or you can think about the Lord. The choice is yours. By the way, if you put God over your problems, you're more apt to get a solution to your problems than if you put your problems before the Lord. And you need to remember that. And so if you can't sleep at night, I have that problem sometimes. I stare at the ceiling. I can't go to sleep. And I've learned that if I start thinking about the things of God instead of all the other things in life, it really makes a difference. And so the first thing is, don't let it rob your problems. You know, the wicked, listen to what the Bible says about the wicked. Here's their problem with sleep. This comes out of Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 14. It says, enter not into the path of the wicked, go not in the way of an evil man, avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. Listen to this. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. That's Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 14 through 17. And we shouldn't be like that. We shouldn't lay down at night and think about, I'm going to get even with them tomorrow. Just you wait tomorrow and they take my parking spot, I'm going to fix them. Or next time I go down the road and people start cutting me off on 19, I'm getting even. And so the idea here is you have a choice. One of the other things, and I'm going to come to this in just a minute, the reason that our problems occupy our mind is because we don't have enough of the Lord in our life to take over. It's not a high enough priority. Here's the second one. Control your sleep habits. Control your sleep habits. The other day I was looking at YouTube, and I like watching, looking at the military and military basic training, and I came across this video for Air Force basic training. By the way, you don't want to look at the Air Force. We have the easiest basic training. And when the basic training was over, they were interviewing the airmen. And they asked this young airman, they said, what did you find hard about basic training? He said, oh, getting up in the morning. He said, I used to lay in my bed and play my video games till 10, 11 o'clock in the morning. He said, now you get up at 5 o'clock. Hello. And I thought, man, that's a lazy critter. And so what you have to do is you have to put sleep where it belongs. Now, in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 13, it says this. Love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. See, sometimes we fall in love with sleep. We like to sleep. It does have an attraction. It does have a satisfaction. It does have a comfort. It can be very addicting. But you need to control sleep instead of letting sleep control you. Because if you're not careful, sleep will rob your life. I done a search on the subject of sleep here a while ago, and I was looking through my notes. Here's a thought. The average person sleeps between 7 to 9 hours. Somewhere around in there is average. And then it goes on to say this. If the average night's sleep is 8 hours, one-third of the day, one sleeps for a third of one's life. If you live to the age of 75, who in here is 75 years old? You put your, at that point, you don't really care anymore. You don't have to hide. Not like me. You can't know how old I am. All right, here we go. If you live to the age 75, that's 25 years of sleep. You've slept 25 years of your life. That's a long time. And so you got to be careful because sleep can take more time from you. The Bible says that we are to redeem the time. That means buy it back. We are to take the time and use it wisely. And so you don't love sleep. And then it says in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse number 5, it says, he that gathereth in the summer is wise son, but he that sleepeth in the harvest is a son that causeth shame. And so sleep can get you to the point to where it robs you from doing things that you ought to do. In the military, if you wanted to get in trouble real quick, just fall asleep at work. I guarantee you, you're going to go to the pokey. You really are. Now, when I was first in the Air Force, I got drafted. And my first assignment was over at Hunt Air Force Base, 50th TAC Fighter Wing. And what we'd do is we'd reposition airplanes for Monday. On a Friday, you'd always reposition for Monday. So when you come in Monday, you start right off with your flyers and you go, well, they had this guy that would fall asleep when they were towing an airplane. Always would fall asleep. So they used to take one airplane every Friday, and they'd take it all the way to the other end of the runway, which was about 2.5-3 miles. He'd be asleep. You'd talk to him on the radio. He's out. We'd back the airplane into the wash rack to be washed for Monday morning, have all the lights on, sleep. So one day we decided to let him sleep. This was in my days when I was young and dumb, because he was the boss. So we decided, okay, buddy, you're going to sleep. Monday morning, the colonel calls me in, says, Adams, who do you think you are? I knew I was in trouble. Because normally you go into command or you go in to stand at attention, and then he tells you to stand at ease. But when he tells you to stay at attention, you're going to get a lacing down. And after he gnawed on me a little bit, he kind of laughed and he said, whose idea was that? I knew I wasn't going to get roasted over. I told him, I said, it was mine. He said, don't do that again. But that guy slept all night. Got up 7 o'clock the next morning. It was Saturday morning. He was supposed to get off at 11 o'clock at night. He slept in that airplane in the cockpit all night. And you ought to be careful. You ought to be careful with your sleep. Here's a third one. Rest in God's protective care. Here's a big problem. This is where we have a big problem with God. We don't trust God. It's easy to stand up and sing and you know, I used to hear people say all the time, well, just trust God. That's easy to say, but it's difficult to do. And the reason a lot of people can't sleep at night is because they don't trust God. It always amazed me as a pastor is that we'll trust God with our salvation and to see us to heaven, and then that's where it stops. He's not the first port of call. He's the last. After we've exalted everything else, then we turn to God and say, God, I need help. And God said, I've been waiting all along. You know, if you talk to somebody that's in combat, they never sleep well. When they're on the battlefield, they sleep 2-3 hours, but they never sleep well because they know ultimately that they're not safe. But you and I are safe in the hands of God, amen? Amen. And so we ought to be able to go to sleep at night, and we shouldn't worry about what's going to happen in the night or going to happen over the night hours because God is with us. Listen to what it says. This is Psalms 4, verse 8. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. I'm going to lay down in peace. What peace? The peace of the Lord. That the Lord's got everything in control. And I don't need to worry about what's going to happen. It says this, and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety. No one else can keep you safe but the Lord. Did you know that? No one. But I don't think we always believe that with God. I don't think we always trust God with that. I remember after I stopped flying and then when we moved to England and I started pastoring, I was the worst passenger on an airplane you could imagine. Because I know all the sounds that an airplane makes, and I can tell when they re-spool the engine, and I can tell when they throttle back one and they bring it back up. They're checking fuel pressurization. They're checking hydraulics because something's not reading right. And they're very clever at it. They just bring that engine down so slow. I used to get pretty worked up. And one day God spoke to my heart and said, Tom, you can't do nothing about it anyhow. I remember one time we were flying out of Dallas. We took off and we heard it bang, 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 bang on the side of the airplane like somebody was trying to get in. I told my wife, I said, we're in trouble. She said, what do you mean? I said, we're in trouble. We weren't about 1,000 feet off the deck. Here comes the co-pilot walking to the back of the airplane. I said, oh, man. Nobody walks through an airplane right after takeoff whistling 1,000 feet in the air. You ever see that? You better start praying for the people around you. And so he walks back up, and I hear the stewardesses talking about it. I said, we're going to have an emergency. So they decide to fly us up to Chicago. They said, we got an emergency, and I'm supposed to be going to England. So we get all the way up to Chicago, and we're flying around. They said, they got a larger runway to land. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. Let me do the fuel calculation in my head. We got 8.5 hours worth of fuel. I said, we got a problem. So then they turn around and said, well, we're going to fly you back down to Dallas. They flew us back down to Dallas. We get down to Dallas, and we're flying around. And I can tell what they're doing. They're flying us in the direction where the noise is coming from past the tower because they're looking from the tower to see if they can find out what's wrong. And so anyhow, after about an hour or so of that, they landed us in, it's like television, all the fire trucks and everybody's out there. And you can tell it's a big problem because the Mercedes are out there. That's the CEOs. Those are the guys that are the movers and shakers. So we finally landed. And what happened was, to make a long story short, this guy loaded the food on the back of the airplane. There's a safety strap. He didn't take the safety strap off. So he shut the door and drove away, and the safety strap wrapped around the elevator, the horizontal stabilator in the back of the airplane. So we couldn't do this. I knew we couldn't do it because I could feel it trying to go. And God kind of taught me a lesson on that flight too. Tom, you don't control anything. But here's the point. We ought to try and stay at peace with God as much as possible. Amen. And when we sleep, we ought to be at peace with God. We really ought to be at peace with God. It goes on to say this in Psalms 3, verse 5. I lay me down and slept. I awoke. The Lord sustained me. The Lord sustained me. The Lord saw me through the dark hours of the night. Then Psalm 121, verse 3 says this. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. God never goes to sleep. Amen? Now stop and think about that. What if God had to go to sleep? We'd all be in trouble. That's why at night you can lay down and you can, you know, when I was in the children's home, we used to have to say this prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. That really played on my head for years. Because somehow I got the idea I'm going to die in my sleep. Probably wouldn't be a bad idea, but God doesn't sleep. He doesn't need to sleep. You know what the interesting thing is, and I pray this often. Lord, I am thankful that while I sleep, you watch over me. And I thank you, Lord, that you're patient enough to wait for me to wake up to see me into a new day, and you're there waiting. That's often my prayer, to know that God doesn't sleep, that his eye is on me even while I'm in a state where I could not defend myself. So why don't you sleep? How comes you don't have peace? Why is it you lay awake at night and every little thing in the world keeps you up? Where's the trust in God? I'm convinced in the time in which we live, and I am so convinced of this, we don't need God. We have a way to get everything and anything we want without God. And I think that somehow we have become time conscious instead of spiritually conscious. And we want it now. We want to do it now. We want to put it into this box. And God will not operate that way. You'll never put God in a box. Here's the other thing. You'll never figure him out. Amen? Now listen, the only thing you can know for sure is that God will save souls. Amen? And after that, yeah, praise God. Amen. How many are glad to be saved? Let me see your hands. Amen. Man, me too. Some days I don't know much, but I know that. Amen. And I know one thing. I know when somebody bows their knee and they accept Christ and they get up and there's a change there, that was one of the greatest things in my ministry, to see people get up after they're saved and see a changed life. I'm telling you what, I could live on that all the way through next Sunday. It's good to know you're saved. It's good to know that you're at peace with God. Why don't we live that way? Why don't we trust him with our problems? Why don't we say, Lord, I can't do anything about it anyhow. And so, rest in God's protective care. And here's another one. Have a plan to start your day. The reason a lot of people don't get up in the morning is because they got nothing to look forward to. How many of you ever seen that family from Alaska where they all dressed up, and I'm trying to think of what they were called. They dressed up with city clothes all the time, and they had this place up in Alaska. They were from, oh, man, I can't think of it. Well, the guy used to say on that show, he said, listen, the only time we get up in the morning is when you're here filming. He said, we don't get up any other time. We just lay around and sleep. And I was thinking, well, that's why this place looks the way it does. You know, you got to have a plan to start your day. What is your plan? Can I suggest this to you tonight? Most of us, our plan tomorrow is more about what we're going to do than what God is going to do through us. It's what is God going to do tomorrow? James says, listen, if God will, we'll do this and that. And so, Here's how you ought to start your prayer. You ought to start your day with prayer. I'm a big proponent of this. I believe before you get out of your bed, I like to sit on the side of my bed, and that's where I like to start my day in prayer. Now, some days I'm tired. How many ever fall asleep when you're praying? Come on, be honest. Let me see your hands tonight. Oh, I do that. How many ever laid in bed and read your Bible and have it smack you in the head, you fall asleep? The Bible said, hello, I'm King James. You don't sleep on me. Oh, I've had a couple of them too, and I thought my wife hit me. Until I opened my eyes real big and I see this black thing across the front of me, and I know I did wrong again. Here you go. Here's something to help you in the morning. Psalms 5, verse 3. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and look up. He said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to start my day in prayer and I'm going to look right to you, Lord, for this day. Not to this project or what we're doing at the church or what we're doing on our vacation. I'm going to look right to you, Lord, because most of the times what we plan for the day never happens anyhow. Amen? I mean, I don't think I've had a perfect day since I've been on this planet. I've had a lot of surprises and disappointments. But I think if you'll stop in the morning right when you wake up and say, I'm going to pray. Now, you have to do something, I think it's for 20-some days to make it a habit. If you get in the habit of that, you'll start doing it all the time, just like that. And I don't know anybody that likes their alarm clock. I definitely don't like mine. But I make time to sit there. And sometimes I can have a real good prayer time with God. And sometimes it's a little difficult to pray. And sometimes I got to go back and repeat myself. But here's the thing, folks. I want God to know in Tom Adams' life that I care enough about the one who saved me that he's the one I want to talk to first in the day. I don't care who's emailed me overnight. I don't care how many text messages are there. I don't care about any of that. I want to commune with God. And I love what he says here in Psalm chapter 5 and verse 3. He says, and will look up. That's focus. I'm gonna focus on this. Then I think the second thing you ought to do when you start the days, you ought to read your Bible. I'm going to tell you something about reading your Bible. We don't have an excuse not to read our Bible. None whatsoever. And if you make excuses why you can't read the Bible, you don't have a high enough premium on your Bible. And when you can say, well, I'll get to it later. I'll do it sometime during the day. What if God said, okay, I'll stop letting you breathe till then? There's a value to reading your Bible the first thing in the morning. It's a good way to start your day. You have as much time as you decide you need every day. You know why they put snooze on the clock? Because we think we need more time. And on my phone, if you're not careful, when I turn the phone, it goes to snooze. I think I turned it off, and then I'm sitting there, it's going again. Solomon says this. He says, my son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thy heart and tie them about thy neck. Then he goes on to say this. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light, and reproof of instructions are the way of life. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20 through 23. Here's the thought. You fill yourself with the Word of God, that's what you're going to start thinking about. What's in you is what you think about. You want a good night's sleep? You start investing in your Bible. Start reading your Bible. Start putting that on your mind all the time. Say to yourself, what is my devotion going to look like tomorrow? What am I going to read tomorrow? What's new in the Bible? That has a way of putting everything else in its place. But this is my fear. We are the generation and the generation to come that have more ways to read the Bible, more understanding of the Bible, and we just don't seem to have it any longer like they had it years ago. We don't have time for the Bible. We don't have time for God's Word. By the way, have you read God's Bible today? Have you? Amen. I hope you have. I hope you sat down and looked at it and just sit there. Now, I'm a big proponent on meditating. I used to read through the Bible all the time. And then I got to looking at the life of David. And then I thought, you know, David said he meditated. So what I've started to do now, I cut back to just two chapters and I meditate on them. I want to understand them. This is my prayer. God, help me to understand what I'm reading. I was sharing with your pastor when we were on vacation. I was reading Isaiah. Isaiah is all right till you get about halfway through it. And then for a Gentile, it's like eating sand almost. And you got to work your way through it. And I decided this time I am not skipping the last half of the book. It took me a long time to get through it. But I'm going to learn this, what is trying to be taught here. You see, you're not going to get to God. You're not going to grow spiritually on the fly. You're not going to do and on your way with God. God doesn't work that way. He won't have that. And so the idea is you got to read your Bible. And that's a good way to start your day. And then number five in your outline, time's getting away from me. Have high expectations for each new day. Here they are. You don't have these on your notes, but this is the first one I give you. Expect to hear from God. Expect to hear from God. In Psalm 143, verse 8, it says, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. In plain words, what the psalmist is saying, Lord, make me hear from you. I want to hear from you. That's what I want. Many years ago, when the military bases were thriving over in Europe, the churches were big, I went down to visit a pastor friend of mine, and he was sitting in the office without the lights on. About 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And I walked in there and I said, Brother Rick, you all right? He said, no, I'm not. Now this guy, to say something like that is about as rare as it gets. I said, what's the matter? He said, you know, Tom, he said, I'm tired of not hearing from God. He said, and I decided I'm going to sit in my office until I hear from God. That always stuck with me. When's the last time in the morning you've heard from God? You take that verse and you take it a little further. Nine does he say, he caused me to hear your loving kindness in the morning. Notice what else he says. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. For I lift up my soul unto thee. In plain words, what he's saying here is, Lord, show me today where you want me to walk. What you want me to do. I want your plans to be the plans for my life. That's what I want. Cause me. The truth is, by nature, most of us go our own way. Amen? We have our own plans. We put things together and we tag God on it. You know, one of the things I liked about George Mueller, I studied his life. George Mueller had a fabulous prayer life. And I mean, I forget how many thousands of prayers he logged that were answered. And in his children's home, they would sit down at the table and there'd be no food. And George Mueller would pray. And something would happen. A cart would break out front that was loaded full of bread. They would give it to him. Just unbelievable answers to prayer. But George Mueller had one little thing that he would do every time. I try to do this. He would not pray for something until he could find it in the Bible. The first thing he'd do is he'd read his Bible. Then when he'd find it, he'd put his finger on it, and he'd pray over it, and he'd claim it. And if it wasn't in the Bible, he wouldn't waste his time with it. Now, some people say, well, not everything in the Bible. Not everything's in the Bible. In mine, it is. It's all there. You just have to read it and study it enough to understand it. And so he said, listen, show me the way I should walk. Here's what he says. The latter part of that verse, I lift up my soul unto thee. In plain words, I'm giving myself over to you. Right on this brand new day, I'm giving myself to you. You have me, Lord. I'm lifting up my soul to you. You're in charge. I go where you tell me to go. That's a productive Christian life. And I wonder when the last time we get up in the morning and said, Lord, I'm tired of myself. I'm tired of playing the game. The sad thing is in Christianity, many of us know the right words. We can flip through the Bible. We can stand up and preach. We can do it all. But inside we're as dry as dead man's bones. And here's the last one. Be ready for your final sleep. There'll come a time when we're going to sleep for eternity. It'll be over. This life will be over. We'll go to sleep. In Psalm 13, verse 3, it says, consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Psalm 17, verse 5 says it this way, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness, and I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Ain't gonna be nice to wake up in heaven. Amen. Listen, the older I get, the more that's where I look. Because one day that's where I'm going. I don't know about you, but I know I'm going there. And that's more pleasing to me than going over to Daytona Beach, even though it's a great time. Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, he says this. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. If you're not saved tonight, you're asleep spiritually. If you were to die tonight, I don't think heaven would be your destination. One of the things that I often think about is here in the West, we have an opportunity to hear the gospel. We have an opportunity to hear somebody tell us that we need Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And I'll tell you right now, if I didn't know that I was saved, I wouldn't even go to sleep tonight without asking the Lord to save me. I'd want to know that if I go lay my head in that pillow tonight, peradventure I don't wake up in the morning, I'm going to be in heaven. Someone asked Charles Spurgeon one day, they said, Mr. Spurgeon, what would you do if you knew that you were going to die in the middle of the night? Mr. Spurgeon said this. He said, well, I'd go home, sit in my chair. My wife would make my supper. I'd smoke my cigar, and I'd go to bed, and I'd wake up in heaven. He said, it's that simple? He said, it's that simple. The man asked him, how can you know that? Because I know Jesus Christ is my personal Savior. I hope you do. I hope you're not going to live a good long life and only at the end to come up short.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.